Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It might be Saturday morning, but it's no day for rest.
About 4 years ago, I put in a deck. It's in nice shape. Should I seal that?
I've been getting this constant leak in my basement every time it rains.
I have a stamped concrete pool deck. Some of the corners are starting to chip.
They say work around the home is never done. That's why Lou is here to help you through it. Now here's your host for the next 3 hours. He's kind of like a doc. And, well, a little sleepy, sneezy, bashful, grumpy, happy, and dopey. Here he is now, Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, there you go. Hi-ho, everybody. Lou Manfredini, Merry Christmas. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Dykstra Home Services and ChevyDriveChicago.com. Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Doma T. I need you guys to open up the presents I dropped off. Good morning, Lindsay.
I like your hat.
Okay, there's a theme.
Oh, I have a hat.
Uh-huh.
He got us the same one.
Uh-huh.
I just complimented his hat, too.
Right, when Doma T saw me, he goes, I like your hat. So I walked in this morning, and I handed the that same bag to Ferguson, our wonderful producer, and he said, I like your hat. And I go, there's a theme going. And Lindsay has a hat, and I have it. So we all have Hawks beanies that we're wearing. And you're not. Are you talking to me, Lindsay? Because I'm not hearing you.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. Lindsay, she goes, but am I the only one that gets a hat like this? I go, well, no, I got that for Sam and for Domity. I go, but you by far will be the cutest one in them. So, although Sam does look pretty good. Pretty
cute. Thanks, Lou. I can't hear you. The hat's very heavy.
The hat is thick and heavy. Are you a beanie hat wearer, Domity? Now look.
I am.
Look at Domity. Look at how sharp Domity looks.
Oh,
look
man.
At him.
Oh man, you see that?
Man,
smell a picture.
Take them tags off, Slick. Take them tags off.
Got to leave the tag on. Let them know it's new. Remember that from the 90s? Is that still in? Can we still do that?
Do they still? No.
Not at all.
No, right. Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, Merry Christmas, you guys.
Thank you so much.
And to all of you, thank you so much for listening this past year. We'll be on. Are we all with you next week? Are you all with us next week?
Yes.
What are you doing here on Saturday? John Williams just walked in with donuts. I thought you were off. John Williams is walking. We need to talk about Salvation Army. Anyway, good. We'll all be back next week as well on Saturday. I'm just happy to be, I'm happy to continue to do this. I'm happy that you gentlemen both are here on Saturday mornings. And Lindsay, of course, who's the, I hate to say this, but you're like the oldest, longest serving producer at WGN Radio. And right? It's true.
That's what my paycheck says.
Right. Yeah, right. Right. So, anyway, it's very fun. It's very nice.
These are called topes, right? Isn't that the official name of the hat? Tope?
Oh, I don't know.
That's what the hockey players call them.
Tope?
Yeah, it's got the little the ball on top, the fuzzy ball. Yeah, I think it's called a tope.
All right.
Is it like palms?
Palms?
Mm. Yeah, like pom-poms.
Mine is not the exact same kind as yours. I've had this one, and I was wearing, so what happened was, I'm a very thoughtful person. I was wearing my Hawks hat, probably walking the dogs, as I walk around the neighborhood.
Your taupe.
My taupe. And one of my daughters said, you know, that hat looks good on you, Dad, because I have a big head and a big face. So you got to be careful about the hats that you wear, otherwise I look like a giant balloon. And so these things I worry about. And I thought, huh, I got to get something for the people on the show. I'm going to get them beanies.
That's a great idea.
Right? And I'm going to get them matching beanies. And then I totally smelled a picture because I'm like, we're going to have to take a picture, all four of us. Five of us because I got one for Ferguson, too, who, as we all know, I mean, you hear us talking on the radio, but unless Bob pushes the buttons the right way, you don't hear a thing.
No.
Right. So anyway, we'll take a picture later on this morning. And then evidently, guys, we thought we were done with beanies, but we're not.
Woohoo!
Right? Are we?
Yeah.
We've got some champagne toasts coming up today and next weekend. So if you're looking for some...
Oh, next weekend too?
Yeah, if you're looking for some good champagnes for mimosas Christmas morning or New Year's Eve.
And then for us, just... And this isn't... You know, the listeners, they don't get to participate in this, but we're going to go to have some treats this morning for breakfast too, so stay tuned for that. But for those of you listening, you don't get any. Sorry. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're here until 10 o'clock this morning. We're going to talk about one of the hottest trends in cooking as part of our Noodaloo 2 that is the oldest thing ever. And Lindsay became a believer this morning at 6:30 in the morning because when we were doing our New York show, all I'm going to say is it plugged in and then it performed.
There could be so... let's just take a call.
Yeah. There we go.
Find out more. It's 7:50.
Sign up more. There you go. This is Beth in Oak Forest. Hi, Beth. You're on WGN. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
How can I help you?
I just wanted to follow up from last week. I called you and I said that I had had somebody out and they had deemed my furnace that we had a cracked heat exchanger. And I told you that he had talked about attic insulation also. And you just kind of got a little upset about it and said that, you know, that would help, but, you know, I could get that later down the line. So I contacted another one of your sponsors to get a whole opinion on this whole thing. And my furnace does have a crack. I do need insulation. And I'm adding a humidifier as well.
Oh, good.
Can I say who it was?
Sure.
Okay, it was Dykstra Home Services in Crestwood, and they came out and they said exactly what you said. I can do the insulation anytime, but it would be much warmer if it was done all at once.
Oh, sure. But if I remember specifically what you said to me was the contractor said, "Oh, it's a complete waste of your money if you do the new furnace and don't do the insulation."
Correct.
And that is like it's too much of a that's like a strong arm. Thing where you feel like, oh, well, I have to do this. Oh my gosh, I'm wasting my money. And it's not true. It's just not true. You know?
Right.
So I don't like when I hear people are doing that kind of stuff.
I know. Well, they installed a Carrier Infinity for me, and it's just unbelievable the difference. We're so much warmer.
Isn't it amazing?
And I'm looking towards, you know, doing the insulation before summer, but I just wanted to call to say thank you so much because. You just, when something happens like this, you're like, okay, let's go to the experts.
Right.
And, you know, then you're looking at this huge bill that you really can't do right now at Christmas time.
Right, exactly. Right. And then, did you need my size of shirt to send me for Christmas? I'm an extra large tall, you know, since you have saved all that money.
I've got it covered, Lou.
Merry Christmas, Beth. I'm glad it worked out for you, and that's so nice of you to call back.
Thank you so much, sir. Bye-bye now.
Take care. That's very nice. You know, that is true, and I, you know, I joke about this stuff, but you have no idea how seriously I take giving you all advice and my opinion. Now, it's just my opinion. I get plenty of, text messages from people that say, you're wrong about this or whatever. And all I can do is give you my opinion. And it can be overwhelming for many of you when you're in the midst of this and some contractor comes in and says, oh, you got to do this or whatever. And, you know, you want to, for the vast majority of us, you want to do the right thing when it comes to maintaining and preserving your home so that you're protecting that investment, but also, you know, you're doing the right thing so that long term you're not wasting your money. You know, in the case of Beth, I do remember that phone call where, you know, the way she described it to me is the contractor said, well, if you don't do this, then it's not worth doing that. And that's just not true. And so I do always want you to view me as a resource, and I'm just one resource. You know, what I'm saying is not the gospel, and but it's just my opinion of things that I have learned and the mistakes that I've made, and from other talking to so many other people about what I do and what they've done, and heard their stories of successes and failures, and then trying to. Share that with you to help you make the best decision you can for yourself, We're not all in the same position. We're not all able to afford the same things. And so trying to make the right decisions for whatever budgets we have and to do it the right way, which I'm really all about, I think is important. And so I always want you to think of me as your big brother or your uncle or your best friend in the home improvement business is willing to help you out whenever I can. All right. It's 7:19 in the morning. I am your big brother in the business, Lou Manfredini. On 720 WGN, we'll be right back.
Now back to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Right.
My AI just changed. It just buzzed the front
Quinn gate. Manfredini. Quinn Manfredini, Merry
Can
Christmas.
Can I tell you something?
You're tell me.
Obviously, it's no surprise that I love every family member of yours. But it's so interesting to watch them grow up and just over the years how I've known you. But Quinn, last night I'm thinking, I mean, he is like a man.
He's a man.
He's like a, it's just amazing to see him. And I mean, I know your girls and youngest son is...
Well, it was really interesting. I was kind of half listening to Lindsay and David and her children. Their children came over last night, and we had a little pizza party for friends, and they came over early with the girls, and we exchanged some gifts. And I was listening to your husband and Quinn talking about work and jobs and careers. And, you know, I know that Quinn looks up to David and has talked to David for some advice. You know, they're... Obviously, David's older, but, you know, that he's much younger than me. And, you know, I know that he admires his, you know, what he's done with his career and stuff. And I was just listening to the two of them just briefly. And I'm just thinking, oh, my God, my son's like a man. They're talking about, you know, they're both in the financial stuff. And it was just interesting to hear. So thank you. That's very nice. We had a nice time. And then you guys left before the pizza party came and we had piles of Lou Malnati's pizza
as we were leaving,
which was so good.
Amazing.
Oh, so good. Love it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Jay's in Chicago. Jay, you're on WGN. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Lou. First time listener, long time caller.
All right. How can I help you?
I got a mowing faucet, kitchen faucet, where the spout comes away from the body. You know, it's got the hose on inside.
Mm-hmm.
I got bad pressure on it. I'm supposed to have 1.5 gallon per minute. When I have the spout on it, I'm getting 3/4 gallon per minute. When I take the spout off, I get 1.5 gallon per minute. Excuse me. Moen has replaced the spout already, and I got the same results.
So if you take the spout off the hose, you get that flow.
I get the flow.
But then it's even reduced more from the head.
Correct.
And have you taken the aerator off of the head?
Yes, same way.
And you still get the one point, you don't get the same flow.
I don't get the same flow.
Yeah.
Get the reduced flow.
Yeah, you're not going to, I mean, if that's in the body of the head, and then there's no way for you to change that unless...
Unless.
You take the, and this is... you know, this is all mandated by the EPA, but if you take if you take the head off of the hose and you look at where the hose connects to the head,
there's a screen there.
There's a screen and a restrictor.
Right.
The screen is connected to a rubber gasket, correct?
Right, an
O-ring that's connected to the screen. If you take that screen off, there should be a restrictor under that.
Yeah, I think there is.
If you take the way you're going to get that out is you can take a little you can take a little thin screwdriver or a wood awl if you have one, and snap that out.
Okay.
And if you snap that out and then replace the screen, you may want to check too if you take the aerator off, Jay.
Yeah.
There may be a restrictor at that end too.
I've done that already.
You took that part off?
Yep.
All right. Take the restrictor off where the hose connects, and I think you'll get to the... you won't get any more than 1.5 because that's what's coming out of the hose, but you should get that same amount of flow.
Hopefully.
All right, Jay?
All righty. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you calling this morning. You too.
Happy New Year.
You too. So nice of you to call. 7:28 in the morning. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll get a report of news from Domo Tipongo. You know, Sam, you were talking about how you were confusing the taupe and the toque, and I kind of know what that's like, because sometimes I get confused, too. Yeah, so that dance move they call, Lindsay goes, I don't even know what that is. Twerking. Have you heard that? It's like a big thing now where the kids do, you're shaking your booty. You know, and obviously twerking, if you're working on something, like if you're working on a car, you have to torque the bolt to a certain pressure. Mm-hmm. There's a certain level of torquing that you have to do that.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Lou. I'll remember that. You know you're working with a handyman when he confuses twerking with twerking. Now back to your favorite twerker, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own WGS. It's our party, we can
do what we want. Twerking. Toque. He's Sam and I are the same. Toque, twerking, twerking.
Your mistake is much funnier.
7:30.
You can twerk in your toque.
That's right. I could. That's the video.
That's going to be a video.
That's the video. Welcome back to the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. Linda, Merry Christmas. You're in Round Lake. How can I help you?
Merry Christmas to you, Lou. I have a front loader wash machine, but it's the probably one of the first models, so I don't have the draining hose, so I have the smell when it's doing the drain cycle.
Right.
My question is, I've been online, and I see there's a little fan that you can mount on the back of the washer that is supposed to help with that, and was wondering if you know anything about it. It was actually also on the Today Show. I don't remember the company.
Wait. So you have a front loader, and you're getting an odor from the rubber bladder in the front, correct?
Well, the odor comes when the machine drains, when it does its spin cycle and it drains the water out.
Yeah.
It smells like rotten eggs.
What do you have? Is it a Maytag? What is it?
It's a Kenmore.
It's a Kenmore. So it's a Whirlpool. And
it's a Kenmore Elite, and it's the HE series.
HE series, right. So that odor is actually coming from that rubber gasket that connects the body of the machine to the drum.
Okay.
Okay, so you know when you're loading, it's all right there.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever done this before. What's that dog that you had? The dog that has all the skin that you can fold back. That's like a little
Sharpei.
You know that? Okay, so that bladder's like a Sharpei. If you put your hands down in the bottom of that and you peel that bladder back, you're going to see all kinds of mildew and mold down there.
Okay. I mean, I do take my hands and I do rub in there and get like some of the ick off, but I've never like scrubbed inside there.
So this is what I want you to do. There is a cleaner. Actually, you know what I want you to use? I want you to go in there with a rag or paper towel and wipe off what you can just with the dry rag, okay? Mm-hmm. Then I want you to fold it back, and I want you to buy a bottle of Fog You Mold.
Okay.
And I want you to spray it. I mean, really spray all the way around that that bladder. Spray it like crazy, and then let it sit there for, 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
Then take a, you know what works really well is a, you know, like the scrub brush you use in a kitchen sink that's got a handle and the end of it, like you could put it inside of a bottle.
Yes.
But it's more aggressive of a brush, right? It's not, it's a stiff nylon brush. But it's like you could stick in a bottle.
Okay.
You need one of those. And you're going to scrub. I'm sorry?
The little skinny ones?
Well, they're it's like a ball on the end, but it's for using. I have one. We have one in our kitchen. The handle is probably 6 inches long, and then it's kind of a half round bristled nylon. But it's stiff. It's a stiff brush. So you could use it to scrub pots and pans with.
Okay.
Use that around the rim of that to really, really scrub. Now, there is a little drain hole at the bottom of that bladder.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that is clear as well.
Okay.
And scrub, 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 scrub. Then, after that, I want you to What would work really well is take a, well, let's think about this. Yeah, take 2 cups. I want you to run that system really hot, empty, and pour 1 cup of CLR into where you would put the soap.
Okay.
And really let that run through an entire cycle. It can go a short cycle. You know how it has a short cycle? It doesn't have to go on a long cycle. But I want to try and clean up as much as I can. It's a muriatic acid base. It's not going to hurt the washing machine. But it's gonna see it foam up a little bit when I do that, which is okay. Yes?
Okay.
And then you wanna clean that all out. And then as a rule, you leave that door open when you're done.
Yeah, I've always
done that. Now hold on a second, because we have a helpful person that wants to call in, and I'm gonna where's the lock button? Hold on, this is a very sophisticated system here. Hold on. Screen hold? All right, I'm gonna lock you. Yep. And then Don, who's in Frankfurt. Hey Don.
Hey Lou, how are you?
You have a suggestion?
Yeah, the discharge hose, if she has a in-the-wall, like, drain assembly there,
yeah,
make sure that the hose isn't too long where it's going into the, there's a trap behind the wall there, and if the hose is too long and it's getting into the trap area, she'll pick up a gas coming back when it discharges.
Linda, does your dishwasher, excuse me, your washing machine, does it go into what's called a guy gray box in the wall?
No, it actually goes into a sink.
So it goes into the sink.
Utility sink.
Right. So
utility
sink.
Okay, that's not it.
Right. But Don, I appreciate you calling with that.
Well, you're welcome, and enjoy your show.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you calling. All right, so Linda, if you do that, I think you'll solve this problem.
Okay.
Don't buy the fan or anything like inside that. That's crazy.
Okay. My other question would be, how often should I do that, like cleaning this once a month?
When you scrub all this for the first time and you get it all done, I think that you're going to go at least a month or two before you do it. But I would probably say maybe every month you give it a quick shot.
Okay.
And a clean.
Okay. And Lou, I have one more question.
Sure.
We bought our home in 92. We have aluminum siding on the house.
Okay.
We have window well covers that they had taken duct tape on the front one and duct taped it to the house. So when we purchased it, I pulled that off, and to this day, I still have residue that no matter what I use, I cannot get off the aluminum siding.
Do you have a pencil or a pen?
Yes.
Superzilla.
Okay.
Go to, where do you live? Round Lake?
Round Lake.
Go to your Ace in Round Lake. Right? You got Round Lake. You've got my friends, the Laskowskis, right?
Yeah, I have one. I love that Ace Hardware.
You go see the Laskowskis and say, Lou sent me in here for a can of Superzilla. Spray it on there. Let it sit there for 5 minutes. Use a nylon scrubbing brush and brush it off, and you'll be so happy.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
You got it. Merry Christmas. I appreciate you calling this morning. Is your toque making your hair itchy?
My toque, yeah, my forehead got a little...
Hot?
Not hot, just a little itchy.
All right.
But it's been on since 5 a.m., so...
It's 7:46 in the morning. When we come back, we are going to talk about the greatest thing ever to cook in your home. And it was invented in the 1600s. And it's the... What are you looking at me
amazing.
Like
amazing. 1600s. That's old.
That's old. That's older than me. We'll be right back.
And from Chicago's very own 720 WGN, let's return to the Mr. Fix-It Show, starring our very own Lou Manfredini.
That's me. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We have some open phone lines if you'd like to call in with anything going on around your home. I'm happy to help. Gonna put the world away for a minute. But before we do that, this is a perfect song for this. It's like, kind of old country home cooking, and you're thinking about a way to cook that's faster, easier, and more flavorful, and even a better way to cook. Right? Is that what I'm saying? Sure. Take a listen.
Pressure cookers, slow cookers, rice cookers, steamers, these are all appliances that have been around for years. And this year, the big craze is a combination of all of these things, but with a catchy new name, the Instant Pot. But really, the greatest trick the Instant Pot has been playing on all of us is convincing us that we're trying something new. Whether you've got an Instant Pot or a Fagor like we have here today, let's look at the facts as to why pressure cookers are so hot right now. What is a pressure cooker? A pressure cooker works on a simple principle, steam pressure. A sealed pot with a lot of steam inside builds up high pressure, which helps foods cook faster. These things date all the way back to the 1600s, and you can cook just about anything in them, and fast. It cooks rice in just a few minutes, and cooks tougher things like beans and chickpeas in less than an hour. It's very good for foods that need to be tenderized, like braised meats and roasts. Heck, we even attempted a breakfast casserole in ours this morning. Science has also shown pressure cooking is healthier. It can preserve more heat-sensitive nutrients than any other cooking method because of its shorter cook times. Like I said, right now we are using the Fagor 8-quart premium pressure cooker, but for the more modern folk out there, maybe you want to check out the Instant Pot that does offer a few more features, but from what I can see and have read, they do just about the same. You can find out more on Lou's Facebook page. I will put up some pictures and some links, and hey, this might even be a good last-minute Christmas present. We all love Amazon one-day shipping. Have a great holiday, everyone. Under pressure. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
Okay. Is the pressure cooker still plugged in?
It's not plugged in anymore.
Oh, okay. Okay. So my wife actually was the one that sort of gave us the 411 on the whole pressure cooker thing. She said, man, have you been hearing all this stuff about pressure cookers? I'm like, no. Then I started talking to you about that, and you started to do a search, and it's the hottest thing in cooking right now.
It's the Instant Pot. So, but like I said in my thing, it's the new hot one is the Instant Pot. I know that's
but a it's a pressure
Christmas
cooker
present. But the I mean, it has all these things. Oh, it can do this and this and this and this, but it's a pressure cooker.
You know where it was invented, the pressure cooker?
France.
And it's been around forever. The whole idea is that it uses the steam and the moisture inside the food. I mean, I know there's people listening going, Lou, this is so, I've been, my grandmother used the pressure cooker, right? But then nobody, but Lindsay, as a young mom, you never even used a pressure cooker ever.
I was scared to death to use it this morning. I thought it was going to, like, the pressure scared the.
My wife, who is, as my kids used to say, Mom, you're a good cooker. She's a good cooker. Yeah. We've never used a pressure cooker ever. And we have the one we featured in the box at our house. And lo and behold, our Ace Hardware stores sell them. They sell pressure cookers. And it really
are
is.
Are they selling now? I mean, are you selling a lot of them now?
No, not a lot of them.
I didn't
but
know if maybe it was like a new thing where you couldn't keep them on the shelves.
No, but I think that it's not an inexpensive thing. I mean, this, you know, you can do the pressure cooker on the stove. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like you need the electric one. Mm-hmm. But as we talked about on the New York show this morning, you said that it has a timer on it so you can set it all up. Right?
Right. So that if you're
working
at 6:30 p.m., you can set it to go out or to start pressure cooking at 5, and it'll be ready by the time you get home.
Yeah. And so things like, I mean, simple things. I mean, you look at the recipe, it's like, oh, you can cook rice in a minute or whatever. Well, that's not really, so what? I mean, in my opinion. So you can cook beans faster, whatever. Right. But the whole meal idea, like you can take some kind of cut of meat. I know you're a vegetarian, mm-hmm. but that is a tougher thing of meat. And with the pressure cooker, it'll tenderize it and cook it within its own flavors. And it'll be much more of a flavorful experience. And I think it's kind of a cool idea. And I love the fact that it's this old thing that everybody's like that they're rediscovering again, you know, but it's been around forever, which is... the older you get, and we all know this, right? History just constantly repeats itself, right? Every 20 years, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing. Like, we did that, you know. It's like the take your recycled bag to the Jewel, right? Instead of using the plastic bags.
Right. But in the day of everybody wants things now,
right.
This is a great, for me, I mean, I'm a perfect example, is that I had no idea how to use it or what it did. And now that I have it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great for, like, you know, my kids love mac and cheese. And not to say that I'm going to make Kraft mac and cheese in it, but I found all these different recipes for, you know, put noodles in there, put some cheese and milk, and set it for 5 minutes, and it's done.
Right. I love that. Speaking of the bags, this made me totally think of the bags. You know, like, okay, so, oh, bring a recycle bag, you know, bring your own bag to bag your groceries, right? Well, you know how in city Chicago now you got to pay 7 cents a bag, which drives me crazy. So yesterday, we're hosting Christmas Eve, and I always like to make a little antipasto plate for Christmas Eve. And so we have this great Italian deli on the northwest side of the city called Tony's. Okay? And Tony and his beautiful wife, Maria, and their two daughters, Jennifer and Josie, they run this place. And these four people behind the deli counter, when I went there yesterday, there's a ton of people. Everybody's getting like party trays and, you know, for the holiday. And the four of them, it's like a ballet dance to watch the four of them behind the, Josie, can you get the, yeah, hey, Dad, can you, is this the prosciutto? What about, and it's, nobody's like getting riled up, that, but everybody's anxious on the other side because, you know, they want their Italian sausage or whatever it is that they're going to get. But the four of them, it's amazing to watch, literally like a ballet. But this is my point. First of all, you should go to Tony's. It's awesome. I go to check out, and I didn't bring my shopping bag that was in my car. I'm like, oh, gosh, darn it. And the girl that's working behind the register says, oh, you know, we have recycle bags right there. So they have a basket where people bring the bags back. And she goes, and if you get the recycle bag, I'm not going to, I don't have to charge it. I'm not giving you the bag.
A great idea.
Right? Yeah. Those smart people. You see what I mean? It's yet another example of everything cool in life invented by an Italian. 7:57 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Look, Daddy. Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
8:09 in the morning. Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Fox Home Center and by Ace Hardware.
Silver bells.
A couple days before Christmas.
Silver bells.
Hope you're enjoying the season. I think I'm officially in the holiday season. I was thinking about this. Have the two of you, Sam and Domati, you both celebrate Christmas, correct?
Yes.
Have you been in the holiday spirit at all?
I think it just started for me yesterday. I was walking.
You hosted around the Christmas show.
But oh, yeah, that's right.
But do you remember the bit? I wasn't even in the holiday spirit then.
Yeah.
That was the whole bit.
But you know what? The reason I asked that of both of you is that I've been thinking about this, and I was talking to one of our daughters last night. You know, there's been, an interesting year, right? There's a lot of angst and a lot of anger and, you know, people yelling back and forth. And I just wonder if that plays upon you a little bit in the back of your mind. Now, I'm a person that really believes in, you worry about what you can control, and the stuff that you can't control, you don't worry about because you just can't do anything about it. And it'll eat you alive if you do that, right? And while I really do try and do that, I'm wondering if that's in the back of my mind. Now, I've certainly gone shopping and I've seen the decorations, and you know, I'm very happy to have all our children home and all that kind of stuff. But there's a little bit of a difference this year for some reason. And I can't quite put my finger on it.
For me, it's a lot more superficial. There's no snow.
No, yeah, that's true.
When I don't see snow,
when it's 50 degrees, when it's 50 degrees in December, and you're used to growing up in this area, that certainly is a player in it.
Yeah, that's what's doing it for me.
All right. Well, and maybe it's just, you know, we better hurry up, WT, because Christmas is Monday. If we're gonna get in the spirit, I think today's the day.
I feel like I didn't realize that.
Yeah, right. It's Monday. So,
oh, Lord.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. 312-981-7200. I'm apologize to the callers because the information cleared. Hello, caller. You're on WGN. What's your name?
Hi, it's Bill.
Where are you calling from, Bill?
Vernon Hills.
Hi, Bill in Vernon Hills. How can I help you, sir?
Well, I had a question. I had a plumber come out, you know, the handle on my shower. I had to keep turning it further and further for hot water.
Okay.
And he pulled the whole thing apart and said it needed a new aerator. And yet it seems to be doing the same thing where I have to turn it. And I wondered if an aerator would make a difference in that shower pump.
It needed a new aerator on the shower head?
No, he pulled the handle out and said that's where the aerator was. And now it barely... You know how there's usually resistance when you turn the shower head?
Right.
The shower handle?
Yeah.
Now there's no resistance at all, and I wondered if that was normal.
Well, and it hasn't solved the problem.
No,
in other words, you still don't have hot water.
I still have to turn the handle about as far as I did before he came to get hot water.
Okay. Now, the aerator in an aerator, if that's what we're talking about, typically is a part that goes on the end of a faucet, and or it can be on the shower head, not in the valve.
No, see, that's I felt like I was getting ripped off, to be honest with
mm-hmm.
you.
Okay.
And I was just wondering, I'm going to call him, obviously, and see whether I'm right or wrong, and I thought maybe you would have an opinion.
Okay, a couple other questions for you. The water, the hot water that you get out of that shower, now you obviously have to turn the handle more, but how about in other fixtures in the home?
No, they're all, like the other shower in my home,
mm-hmm.
it works fine.
It works fine.
You don't have to turn it 75% to get the hot water hot.
Okay, so it isn't, as far as you know, the rest of the home and other fixtures, whether you're at the kitchen sink or at the vanity, it's plenty of hot water there.
Absolutely.
Okay. And this shower valve that you have, it's a single handle. Who's the maker of it?
Moen.
Okay. Now, there is and let me ask you this, too. How old is your home?
9 years.
Okay. So it is it's an anti-scald system in there. And when you do take apart that valve, that anti-scald system, basically what it's designed to do is if you were to lose pressure, it reduces the pressure of the water so that you don't get scalded. That can be adjusted, and that's what can help the positioning of the handle, not an aerator.
Okay. He charged me $300 and said it was for the aerator.
Well... That seems pretty expensive. He didn't replace the valve stem or the valve insert, right? Do you have the receipt in front of you?
I do, but I have to go get it.
Okay. I mean, the term aerator doesn't make sense to me. I mean, if you replace the valve cartridge, I mean, he was probably only there about an hour, right?
If that.
Right. So, I guess this is what I would do. If it hasn't solved the problem, then they need to come back and correct it. But okay. I think I would check the receipt. My guess is he replaced the valve cartridge, not the aerator. And that has a cost to it, and he has to take it apart. And hopefully they were upfront with you with the charges that they were charging you, you know, said, hey, this is what it's going to cost. And they made that apparent to you up front. But the term aerator on a valve cartridge doesn't make sense to me. Perhaps that terminology is wrong. Just double check all that. But if they didn't solve the problem, I would talk to them specifically about, I need you to come correct this, what you did. But there's no other parts to change if they've already changed out the aerator to get this adjustment right. And the anti-scald has an adjustment that should be adjusted. And in my view, if they charge you $300 and they didn't fix it, they should come back and make it right, and there should be really no additional charges. Thanks so much for the phone call, and good luck with that project. It's 8:16 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Does Natalie live here?
No, she doesn't.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Are you singing carols?
No, I'm not.
Please, sir, please.
Well, I mean, I suppose I could.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen.
I still love that movie, Love Actually. That scene is where the, what's the name of that actor? Hugh Grant. He plays the prime minister, and he goes looking for the girl that he's in love with. And as he starts to sing Good King Wenceslas, the his driver's in the background. Remember, the driver starts singing, which is really funny. Merry Christmas, everybody. 2 days before Christmas. Thank you for spending Saturdays with us. Coming up after the 8:30 news, we have, it's almost become a little annual event where we've had Paul Hammond on, who's the president of the Knight Ministry. I got to ask Paul, I sure hope that when he comes on, other than it's always nice to see Paul, that we also help to generate some interest and donations to help that organization, because I think that that's so important of what the Knight Ministry does. I'm sorry? Well, what I mean the Salvation Army thing, what John has had his virtual kettle, and I love John. He's just not really good at raising money. And I'm not modest. Am I modest?
No.
I like to think of myself as being modest, but I will honestly say that I am really good at raising money for charity. Like, I won't, toot my own horn other than for that. No, you're right. And I like doing that. And so when I was listening to the virtual kettle thing, I think they just needed a little push, and a bunch of people responded. And then David Hochberg, who's with Pearl Mortgage, also stepped up in a big way. And ultimately, it's all about getting money for the Salvation Army, which I believe their kettle program ends today. Like, they stop collecting. And John, to the best of my knowledge, his last show was on Thursday, but then I just saw him in here today. But today would have been the last day to reach his goal. Well, he exceeded his goal. I think he doubled it. Anyway, I hope that when Paul comes in, that we generate some interest, and it's always nice to see him and talk about the good things that they do at the Knight Ministry. We'll talk to them and Paul after the 8:30 news. Let's go back to your phone calls at 312-981-7200. This is Lou in Chicago. Lou, how are you? Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Good morning. Same to you, and I'm Lou, too.
I know. I like that. You're the Lou, too. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, I know you've talked about this before, but for some reason I'm drawing a blank. I've got an issue with the toilet. Now, randomly, not constantly, I'll walk in there, I'll be in there or whatever, excuse me, and the tank will seem like it's finishing flushing, and it'll do that for about 10 to 12 seconds, and then it'll shut off. I call it, maybe that's what you call it before, because that's what I'm calling it, a ghost flush.
Mm-hmm.
Ever heard of that?
So the tank will, like, get ready to shut off, but then the toilet just flushes on its own.
No, the tank is already shut off, okay? But I'll walk in there randomly at a given time. It doesn't make any difference what time of the day it is, but I'll hear it like it's trying to finish filling up.
Oh, so it's filling itself again.
There you go.
Okay.
The tank is full up, but it might be just about 10 or 12 seconds this noise will occur.
Right. Let me ask you this, Lou. The tank, when you take the lid off, do you know if you have a ball that's on a rod, or is it all on the tower of the fill valve?
It's on the tower of the fill valve.
Okay. And how old is that toilet?
I'm going to say 3 years, maybe.
Okay. So what can happen is, more than likely, if you have if it's all on the tower, there's a float there, and there's probably a little stainless steel rod and a clip that you squeeze with your fingers. I want you to clip that, and I want you to lower the float a little bit. So I want you to lower the level in the tank. And the other, I'm sorry?
There's an adjustment there, and I've tried that, but
okay. I want you to, if you can adjust it then, so that you lower the tank. So the overflow valve that you have there, have that water be about an inch below the top of that tube. Once you get to that point, I want you to take that, the float that's connected to the little rod, and I want you to articulate it by hand. I want you to go up and down, up and down, up and down, half a dozen times or so, because there's probably sediment and scale inside there that's just getting caught. It's not sealing 100% when it closes the valve, okay? And you can even try, if you wanted to, after you try that a little bit, before you go to sleep at night, I want you to take a little bit of some CLR, like a couple of cups of it, and just pour it in the tank. And then just take your finger and run it around a little bit just to mix it in and let it sit there overnight.
Okay.
Then flush the toilet and see if that solves your problem. If that does not solve your problem, you need to replace the fill valve on that toilet.
I got no, the fill valve, that's not the, the, is that the one with the adjustment on it?
Correct.
Okay, okay, I got okay. You.
But this, what I just told you, may solve the problem. So, but if it doesn't, then you got to turn the water off and, you know, drain out the tank and replace the fill valve. And then you got a couple ways to go here. What, you know, one of the ones I like, it's a pressure switch unit by a company called FilPro, F-I-L-P-R-O. And it, this little unit sits at the bottom of the tank. You don't even see it, but it's all a pressure switch. And there's, and it's all at the bottom. That thing will run for the, till now until the eternity. It, they're so good.
Who's got those big blacks or Ace? Or
Ace. Who? Ace has those.
I got one right down the street here.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Lou, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you so much for calling. I hope you have a good rest of your day and a good holiday.
Okay, my friend. Same to you.
Take care. It's so nice. 8:27 in the morning. We'll be back right after these.
Holiday,
8:37 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show.
While the merry bells keep ringing.
Happy holidays to you.
Happy holiday to you.
Joining me in the studio, and he has for, gosh, it's been several years, Paul. Six or seven? How about that microphone? How about that microphone? Give me a something. There you go. That one. Yeah, nice to see you this morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You have been the president and CEO of the Knight Ministry for more than 10 years. We've talked to you around this time of year, to each year, to kind of talk about the good work that you do, providing housing, healthcare, human connection to members of the community experiencing homelessness and poverty. And I jokingly said to you, are you guys out of business yet for the right reasons? And unfortunately, you're not.
Right.
And the news is not great when it comes to homelessness in the city of Chicago, right?
Right. I mean, yes, we're still facing approximately 82,000 people who are on the street throughout the year, at some point throughout the year in the city of Chicago, of which, you know, the Chicago Public Schools have about 18,000 registered homeless students in their schools. And we know there's about 11,000 what we call unaccompanied youth on the street throughout the year. So youth who are on the streets without connection to any type of their family. And nationally, homelessness amongst unsheltered homelessness is up about 1.5%.
Give me the Chicago schools again. How many kids?
Chicago Public Schools has 18,000 registered homeless students.
People that we know in the city. Children that have no home, that are willing to admit it.
Yes, and that's just it, that are willing to admit it.
Because that's a big problem, right, is that there is a bit of some shame and unwillingness to share that information.
Right, exactly. So especially if you're an adolescent, it's all about identity and
right.
How other people view you and how you view yourself. So to know that we have 18,000 students who are registered as homeless, mm-hmm. we believe the number is probably actually about 25, 26, 27,000, given the fact that individuals probably are not willing to come forward and identify themselves as being homeless. And that could mean that either they're on the streets, they're living with their family in a car, or perhaps what we call doubled and tripled up, you know, maybe two or three, four families living in a one or two bedroom apartment.
Earlier this week, I had lunch with a friend of mine and some people that work with Swedish Covenant Hospital.
Yes.
Okay. And I was getting to know a little bit about the hospital. And one of the things that when I was asking some questions, this gentleman, Jonathan, was telling me that, we support this program that the city has to provide housing for homeless people because we've identified that homelessness or homeless people that come into our hospital what they call frequent flyers, okay? Meaning that they'll come in with some acute or some emergency thing where they'll need some treatment, and they, at Swedish, don't turn anybody away. They're a community independent hospital, and they, you know, they provide the medical care, whatever it may be, and they may say, okay, take this medicine home and take this with you. Well, they don't have a home,
right?
And they throw the medicine away, and then 3 days later, they come back to the hospital. They've identified that those frequent flyers cost the hospital in the neighborhoods of $200,000 a year.
Right.
Okay? I mean, this is all stuff I know you're nodding your head and you're saying yes, yes, yes. And so they've come to the conclusion that if we help support putting these people in some type of housing, A, it's going to be better for them. Their health is going to be better. And then ultimately, the hospital's not going to spend $200,000 on multiple people that come in.
Right.
And it was such an eye-opening kind of revelation to me because, you know, I think that for most of us, and I do this too, and you can, you know, there's a theory when it comes to, you see people when you stop at a stoplight and they're saying, I'm homeless, I'm a veteran and I need a job or whatever, and they're trying to collect money. You know, there's one school of thought that says you don't give them money there because it encourages that, and that's really not the answer. You give it to organizations like the Knight Ministry or the, we had is it Julie Yurko from the Northern Illinois Food Bank, you know, and the meals that they provide, and, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of meals to people that need to be fed. And those organizations that are trying to do a lot of this, the Salvation Army, another terrific organization. And so it's, the numbers are staggering, and the average people just don't know it.
Right. The numbers are staggering, and the issues that lead up to a person being homeless are incredibly complex.
Right.
It's never just one thing that happens that results in a person being on the street. It's usually a confluence of three or four things happening, kind of a perfect storm.
Right.
Maybe somebody has been laid off, they're without health insurance, they're living month paycheck to paycheck to pay for their rent, and they break their leg. And they can't afford their rent, or they can't afford to eat.
Right.
So it's usually a confluence of events. And in your discussions with the folks at Swedish Hospital, that's really a theory that's called housing first, which says that if you provide a person with a place to stay, it helps to get them stabilized, and then there's usually much better outcomes. It's a great theory. It works a lot for older adults who've lived on their own before. And has been very successful on the East Coast and is now a national model. But one of the challenges is where do you house them? You have to have the housing available. And that health issue is really big. So here in the city of Chicago, if somebody is homeless and trying to get into a housing program, there is literally a rating system. There is a survey that has to be filled out, and it's all based on their morbidity. So in other words, how many health issues do they have, and what issues are they affecting that might eventually result in their untimely death? And those who quote unquote score better, that is, have a higher score on the scale, are the ones who are placed into housing, because the thought is that if they're in the housing, then their health will improve, they have better access to services. The challenge that we face when it comes to working with youth is that youth are not chronically homeless, and therefore they do not score well, if you will, on the rating system.
Right.
So because what we're trying to do is to prevent chronic homelessness when we're working with youth. So,
what's the youngest age of homeless youth that you work with?
That we work with in our housing programs is 14. However, with our health outreach bus that's on the street that serves primarily adults, we see families with children as far as, you know, 3, 4, 5 years of age that might be living in a car. They might be trying to get into a family shelter someplace. And the average age of a homeless person in this country is really quite young. I think it's like 7 or 8. And that's because of the young children who are involved with homeless families.
You have obviously been involved in this field for quite some time. If you could wave your magic wand and say, if we could do this, you know, if we could do these three things in the city, in other words, so, you know, and I was telling you this off the air, and I was thinking about this, going that, okay, it is remarkable to me that as I drive around the city and I see all these huge vacant buildings, and I'm thinking to myself, couldn't we couldn't we transform that into some type of transitional housing? You know, because the problem is that veteran that's standing on the side of the road trying to collect money that has a sign saying, I need a job. He has no place to live. Right. So when you go to an employer and they say, where do you live? Or this and that, there's nothing there.
Right.
And so that candidate becomes one that, well, why would I hire this person? Because I've got this guy that has a home and whatever, and it's more like legitimate. And it isn't that that person couldn't do the job, but he or she, it's just stacked against right. them, yes. right? And so why can't we create some kind of transitional housing to give these people an opportunity? I know that now becomes public housing, right? And that's a whole thing. But what's the secrets? I know it's not a simple thing,
right.
but if you wave that magic wand, what is it that we can be doing better at?
So if I were to wave the magic wand, I think three things I would wish for is one is more affordable housing. I
more
mean, Chicago,
affordable.
Like so many cities in the country, is gentrifying, which means that rents skyrocket. So I believe that we really need to have a special set aside to say, if you're going to be developing housing, this particular portion of it needs to be truly affordable housing.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. But here's the problem right. when you say that. The communities,
right.
This is the problem with our society now. They don't get it. They think affordable housing is a terrible thing.
Or, you know, in this city, affordable housing means somebody who's making at least $50,000 a year.
Right, which is crazy.
So,
right.
Which brings me to my second piece, which would be neighborhoods who are willing to have programs in their neighborhood.
Right.
Everybody wants to address the concern of homelessness.
But not here.
But not in my backyard.
Right.
So, you know, I'm a homeowner myself. I mean,
right.
I get it. But yet I also think that, too, that we need to make sure we avoid just special sections and basically ghettoizing people.
Right.
We need to be able to integrate folks into our community. Everybody, these are our neighbors.
Right.
They could be your son. They
yep.
could be your daughter. They could be your aunt. They could be your uncle. These are our neighbors in Chicagoland. And we have to integrate them into our community and have to open up our neighborhoods to them. And the third thing I would really wish for is a more robust preventative program. I think one of the things we really lack in the city of Chicago is a homelessness prevention plan and services, especially when it comes to youth. So if a young person is having problems at home, maybe there's abuse or there's substance use going on, to be able to have a temporary place for the young person to go to
mm-hmm.
while the family kind of gets its act together and gets the services they need and to reintegrate the child back into the family, that type of prevention. So I think those would be my three pieces. But the housing piece is crucial. So, for example, our health outreach bus that's on the street 7 days a week,
mm-hmm.
if we're working with somebody who's chronically homeless and that person's been told that they need a colonoscopy,
right.
You know, we know what the prep work like for that.
Sure.
You know?
Right.
Where is a homeless person supposed to go for their prep?
Right.
And who's supposed to pick them up from the hospital afterwards?
Right.
So that's one of the things that we do is try to take those very basic everyday situations that all of us take for granted as having been able to address and then working with individuals through those type of things.
Do you get help from the city and state?
They
obviously know of you. They know
yes.
what you do.
Yeah.
And do you get some kind of support from them?
We do, yes. The city of Chicago is really, I must say, is really considered to be a national leader when it comes to youth homelessness. The city has...
But we can always do more.
But we can always do more, of course.
Right.
And I think part of that, too, coming back to having places for the services to take place. So the city of Chicago is known as a leader in the youth homelessness because of its foresight to develop a series of overnight emergency shelters for young people.
Right.
So we do receive support from the city of Chicago, as do many other service providers. And then we also receive money from the Department of Public Health for our work in the area of HIV prevention, because homelessness is a big precursor, one of the largest precursors to HIV. And we get, thankfully, just a very small grant from the state of Illinois to help us out. And we also receive some federal funds as well.
You say Chicago, and I think that for a lot of people, they think, oh, yeah, you know, Chicago, the city's got problems and this and that. But there's homelessness in Naperville. There's homelessness in Oak Forest. There's homelessness in Skokie.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's everywhere. This is not just a city of Chicago issue. It is a Chicago. It is a It is a nationwide problem.
It's a nationwide.
It's in every community.
It's a nationwide concern. And a study that just came out about a month ago that was done through Chapin Hall, the first ever national study on the prevalence of youth homelessness, really demonstrated that there's not a whole lot of difference between urban homelessness, suburban homelessness, and rural homelessness when it comes to youth. It exists in each one of those situations. The question is, how many services are available and how visible is it?
Right.
Every school district is required by law to have a homeless liaison. So each school district, suburban, urban, it doesn't matter, has somebody whose job it is to work with homeless youth. So we know it's throughout.
Yeah. Okay, how do we help you? How do people help you? What is it that they can do for the Knight Ministry to help?
Well, Lou, as always, you're listeners are very generous to us. And of course, for us, the primary piece is financial support. Somebody can go to our website, which is theknightministry.org. I always remind people it's night as in nighttime, theknightministry.org, and click on donate now. That is always something that's very helpful. That provides us with unrestricted funds that we can apply to wherever we need to. I always remind folks that one of the things we always need is diapers, because we are the only provider of shelter services to minor girls who are parenting or pregnant and homeless in the city of Chicago. We're the only organization that has beds for them. And then also, too, the thing we always are very much in need of is deodorant. Wow. And after I speak with you every year, we always end up getting a couple of shipments, anonymous shipments of deodorant from Amazon. It's a basic need that oftentimes people don't think about.
So right.
We give out hygiene packets to those who visit our health outreach bus, and we always like to make sure there's deodorant in there.
Right. TheKnightMinistry.org. Night as in nighttime. TheKnightMinistry.org. Doing amazing work for all those that need it. I really want you to be out of business.
So do we.
I want you to be out of business, and I know that that's not the case, but I'm so grateful for all the work that you do and your staff. I know you have an amazing staff of really dedicated people. You always talk about them, and that certainly is the backbone of the whole thing.
It's our staff and volunteers who are on the front line every day or providing the support and the back office. You know, when it's negative 20 degrees, who's going to be out there helping individuals who are on the streets, right, sleeping underneath the viaducts? And that's the Knight Ministry.
Paul Hammond is the president and CEO of the Knight Ministry. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for coming in. It's always nice to see you.
Merry Christmas, Lou. Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure.
All right. We'll be back right after this. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to LaVon, who's in Scottsdale. Hi, LaVon. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
How can I help you?
Well, we have a truck that's dripping oil in our garage, the cement floor, and we have a few drips on the cement driveway, but it's really a good area in the garage. Is there some, like, powder or, like, a sand or a salt or something that we could absorb that and then try to scrub that away or anything like that?
You have a pen or a pencil?
I do.
Go to your local Scottsdale, Arizona Ace Hardware store.
That went down the street. Okay.
And ask them for a bottle of Pour and Restore. Pour and Restore. And this is like a product that, it's a funny story with Sam and Milk of Magnesia, but it looks like Milk of Magnesia. Remember Milk of Magnesia?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
You can pour that right over there. You're going to let it sit there for 24 hours.
Not the Milk of Magnesia, though, the other stuff.
No, the Pour and Restore. It looks like Milk of Magnesia. And then you're going to let that sit there, and then the next day you're going to sweep it up. You'll have a wet stain,
really?
And the oil should be gone.
Really?
Really.
Wow, even on the driveway, that's cement?
Definitely.
It just, like, drips on it, but the garage is, we're having a car, we're donating the car, they're picking it up next week.
Right. So how long has the oil been there?
I'm going to guess about 2 months.
Okay, well, the sooner the better, and this is your best bet.
So just pour it on top, let it sit for 24 hours, and then just sweep it up.
It's going to wick up the oil from the concrete. When you do that, it'll be a wet spot. When it dries, the oil should be gone.
Really? Okay.
LaVon, you're the best. Thank you so much for calling this morning, and I hope you have a lovely Christmas.
What list?
He's making a list.
Checking it twice.
You're going to find out who's not your nice.
And you better watch out. You better not cry. You better.
He is coming to town. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's get back to your phone calls right now and talk to Ron, who's in Downers Grove. Ron, Merry Christmas. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Good, sir. How can I help you?
I got a steel bathtub, and around the drain, it rusted out. I am wondering, or I've seen ads on TV about the...
Recoating it?
No, they have some kind of a unit that you slide over top of.
Oh, it. Yeah, like a liner.
Yeah. What is your opinion on that?
How's the rest of the tub?
Pretty good. Yeah, the rest, well, it's naturally wore. It's about 30 years old.
Yeah. But, I mean, if it wasn't rusting around the drain, would you be using the tub no problem?
Yeah.
How about you just touch that up around the drain? How handy.
There's a hole in there.
You mean it rusted through? It
rusted through.
Oh. All right, well, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Well, so here's the problem with the liner. That hole, I mean, it can be, yeah, they can do it. They what they're going to do is they're going to take that part of the drain that you see is called the shoe. Okay?
Yeah.
They're going to take that off, and then they're probably going to do some kind of patching, like a little metal patch where it's rusted through. Hmm. Then they'll put the liner over the top, and then they'll put the shoe over the top of that so it all drains. What is the condition of the walls of the tub?
They're ceramic tile.
And they look fine?
Yes.
So you would just do the tub?
Right.
All right. So, you know, you're going to spend $1,000, $1,500 on a tub liner installed. If you did everything, it'd probably be around $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
If the rest of the bathroom is fine, then it's probably a good use of your money. Do you use this tub regularly?
Okay, it's you know what I'm talking about. It's a rental house.
Oh, it's rental?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Well, it don't make any difference. It's still got to be repaired.
Yeah. Well, if it's rental, then... Ron, if it were me, I'd do the tubs and the walls, all one. Because when you just do the tub against your ceramic walls, what they can make, you know, they'll caulk it all, but over time it's going to separate. And if you're not looking at that thing on a regular basis,
right,
water's going to get underneath that liner, and then it's going to be squishy, and then it's going to leak through that hole that they patched.
Right.
So you got... You could do the liner and the tub probably for under $3,000 and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you can have the tub replaced and you'd probably spend the same $3,000.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got a couple choices. You know, there's companies like Luxury Bath, Rebath, that do this liner problem, you know, not problem, liner work. And call them and get a couple different estimates and see who you like the best. And they're, you know, essentially the same product.
Right.
But it's just, you want people with good experience to do the work.
What was those names again?
Luxury Bath. Rebath. And there's another company actually called Bath Fitter. Got them?
Mm-hmm.
All right, sir. You have a nice Christmas. I appreciate you calling this morning. Let's talk with Chris. Chris, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. Your traffic guy wasn't kidding about that traffic on 90.
Boy. We don't make this stuff up, Chris.
Oh my gosh, it's jammed. Anyway,
Lou's not a fan.
That's awesome.
It tastes a little medicine-y.
Really?
Yeah, it's like medicine. There's something in it that I don't like.
Yeah. The smell, something about the smell I'm not a fan of either.
That's what I'm talking about. I hate to say that.
Yeah. No, you can say
God bless these people. They worked hard on it.
I like this one better than the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
It tastes like medicine.
I think it tastes like chapstick.
Well, are you wearing some?
No, I'm not.
Huh. I mean, you know what? Now that I had another sip, it's not bad.
I like it.
Another quiet taste sip.
Keep drinking.
So those are two choices. The Cardon Duchesne Brut Rosé, $39.99, $37.99, and then the right, and then the Fossetta Prosecco, $10.99, $9.99.
We've had this happen where we like the one that's cheaper a lot.
Correct. Well, yeah, and you can, all these wines can be found at binnies.com, and if you didn't catch the name of the wines on the air, or you can always call the Binnie's Wine Hotline at 866-975-6188. Your personal sommelier is a phone call away.
And Kristen has her podcast, right?
Yeah, and then Kristen has her podcast, Kristen Ellis and Binnie's Wine. She's a Binnie's Wine expert. And WGN's Jeff Carlin, download the Barrel to Bottle today and learn about the wines, beers, and spirits to serve this holiday season and much more. Search Binnie's on WGNRadio.com, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and iTunes to subscribe. Didn't you? Isn't that where your Mincing Rascals podcast is, too?
Affirmative. And the Chicken Dinners
on Google Play, right? And iTunes,
yes.
Right? They can go there. Those are the two of the three podcasts that I download.
I was at the Binnie's on Broadway yesterday, the Saturday before Christmas. No, the Friday before Christmas. Yes, it was Friday. It felt like Saturday. I took the day off. But the Friday before Christmas, Binnie's.
Yama.
Wow, were they ringing the register.
So I was talking to a friend last night. Evidently, there is a room at one of the Binnie's that he was at that is a exclusive spirits, and the door is locked. Like, it's super expensive stuff. And he said there was a bottle of some kind of scotch in the window.
Pappy?
No, that's bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
The Pappy. But it's some kind of scotch that he said was like $50,000.
What?
I ordered $50,000 worth of stuff at Binnie's yesterday, but it was like $9 at a time.
Exactly,
I
right.
1,400
exactly.
Toasted heads.
Exactly. So that's yummy, yummy, yummy stuff. So just go to binnies.com and learn all about that. Thanks, John, for being our celebrity taster.
Hey, and while we have the champagne in our hands, let's do a toast.
To I really enjoy working with all of you.
Yes, toast. And Domati just went back to do the newsies.
Merry
toasting
Christmas.
Through the camera. Way to go, Domati. Nice to have you there. Yes, Merry Christmas to all of you as well. It is 9:32 in the morning.
Who the heck are you?
What are you talking about? I'm Santa Claus.
No, you're not.
Why, of course I am.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Look, I'm not kidding. You're a fake.
You stink.
I think you're going to have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Dreaming 9:37 in the morning. Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 Christmas. WGN. Merry Christmas.
Just like the ones I used to know.
Audrey's in Berwyn. Audrey, you don't smell like beef and cheese, do you?
No, scrambled eggs.
Ooh, delicious. How can I help you?
I hope so, Lou, and Merry Christmas to you and your people and family.
Thank you.
Sir, I had a new high-efficiency furnace and water heater put in this September. My question is, I had the one-year-old furnace humidifier compatible to my new American Standard unit furnace attached. They didn't put a separate hose for the condensation of the furnace. So everything, and I just found out for the 2 months that my humidifier wasn't working. Only because the filter was all dried out, and there's only one line actually where all this water comes out, so I can't really tell if I'm getting the condensation from the sticking my finger in the unit or pulling down the hose from the humidifier unit.
Okay, wait. I'm going to try and follow you here. So you have a furnace, and you have like a white plastic drain line.
Yes, sir.
That goes to a floor drain?
No, they didn't hook it up to the floor drain. Originally, when I had my old carrier furnace, it was done the scenic route. It went up through up through the rafters or however you'll call the beams down into my cast iron double sink.
With like a clear plastic hose.
Yes.
So it was connected to a pump.
Yeah, I have that pump that's a new whatever for the humidifier unit.
Do you have a pump currently?
Yes, it's brand new.
Okay, and where does it pump it now?
It's all the water now is going through that. It was a brand new hose put on it. The humidifier is only a year old. On
right.
the furnace, he was able to attach, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no water coming out of. But I was getting gallons and buckets that I was collecting, thinking it was my humidifier dripping all this water. And he says, "No, your high efficiency furnace
generates moisture.
The moisture and."
Right. But my question, question, hold on, is Audrey, the pump that you have, that's working, correct? That's draining the water properly. That's coming from the furnace.
Yes.
You're not collecting buckets of water or anything. Nothing's spilling on the floor.
Nothing's going on
okay.
the floor.
And when you look at your humidifier, there is a clear plastic tube that comes from the bottom of it, and then also goes into that pump.
Sir, I have a wall phone. I'm not in the basement.
Got it.
House.
Okay, you should, when you go down there, at the bottom of the humidifier that's attached to the side of your furnace.
Right.
There should be, it could be some.
A plastic cord, yes, a hose.
A hose that goes straight down or to an angle into that pump.
It does.
Okay, now, there's a water line that is at the top that's connected. Follow that water line to the valve that is connected to a larger pipe in your basement. And make sure that that valve is on. So you have to turn it righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. So you're going to turn it to the left. Okay? Once you ensure that that's on, somewhere else you should have a dial that turns your humidifier on or off and allows you to set the moisture level that you want it at.
Okay.
Now, that's either on the side of your furnace, or it could be underneath your thermostat.
Okay, it's on the side, sir, and it's set on 35.
It's set on 35. Okay, so what I want you to do as a test is I want you to turn that water valve that I talked about when you look for the copper wire or the copper hose,
mm-hmm.
or it could be a plastic hose, but it's more than likely copper.
Copper.
Make sure that valve is on. Are you already down there, or are you just...
No.
You remember all this.
Yeah.
Okay, then what you have at 35, I want you to turn the furnace on, go set the thermostat up to 75 degrees, so it runs, right? Then turn that thermostat, that dial, to the maximum. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And you should hear a click, and you should see water coming down that hose.
Okay.
Now, if all that is working, then the reason you're not seeing it at 35 degrees is that you have 35% moisture in the house. It's not that cold yet, and so it's not that dry yet.
Okay.
See what I mean? Now, if none of that works, then get those furnace people back to troubleshoot it for you.
Okay, can I ask one more question with regard to that? Lou?
Sure.
If I didn't have a humidifier attached to my old furnace that was reusable because it's only a year old,
mm-hmm.
Would the new furnace people that installed, shouldn't then they have had a hose line then go to my floor drain?
No, because with
where's
that...
all the condensation then? Because, I mean, I'm getting buckets and buckets going into my sink, and I've put buckets in there. There's like...
What do you mean? No. What do you mean you get buckets and buckets in your sink?
The hose that was originally connected, to my humidifier on the furnace...
Right.
...is connected through, not on the floor drain. It goes all the way up, on the ceiling part, and then drains into the basin of the sink.
Currently.
And so
that's what's happening.
Right, and I put buckets there to make sure to see if my humidifier was working.
Well, but
then every day I was getting like 3 buckets a day, gallons, more than gallons.
Well, right, but so that...
And that's the furnace.
That's the furnace, and
yes.
The pump is just pumping that water
right
into your sink. So that the reason that they didn't put the hose on the floor is so you don't trip over it.
Yeah, I understand. That's what they told me.
Right. So the pump thing is fine because the pump just, I have the same thing in our own home that pumps it up and over and into the sink. And so
but it's okay then leave it that way?
It absolutely is fine. That's just the condensate.
Yeah, I know.
Your issue, The high-efficiency furnaces create moisture when they run.
Correct.
Whether your humidifier is on or off.
I'm going to get water. I understand that now. I didn't know that then, unfortunately. So I thought all this water was...
Not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. You don't have
to... My thought was that you should have two separate hoses, one that takes the furnace water out.
No, it's all... So imagine this, right? That pump, all that pump's job is to collect any and all water that comes off of your furnace, whether it's from the condensate of the heating system itself and or the humidifier that goes into the same pump. So it's a small, tiny reservoir that collects it, and then after a certain amount of time, the pump kicks on. It evacuates all the water from its reservoir into your sink and waits for it to fill back up. My guess is if the amount of water you're talking about is that high, your humidifier is working.
Okay, because I was concerned that it should have been on separate line, hose line.
No. It does not.
What is humidifier and what is furnace?
It's not. It does not need to. It's not necessary for it to be separated, nor is it necessary.
Okay, Lou.
All right.
All right. Thank you, sir, and happy holidays.
You got it. You too. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for calling. 9:46 in the morning. We'll take a quick break. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Alice is in Chicago. Merry Christmas, Allison. How can I help you?
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, too. Yes, I'm calling because I have an old home. We have an oil-burning furnace, and it hasn't been turned on because when we turned it on, it smoked. We're waiting for the maintenance man. Should I drain the pipes from water while I'm waiting? He's not going to come over for Christmas. It's going to get real cold. Should I drain the water from the pipes?
Wait a minute. You have no heat, and...
I have heat. I'm using heaters, but I don't have... It's a two-story building, and the boiler is not turned on yet.
Right, and they're not coming till after Christmas?
I believe so.
Okay. Could we maybe get a different boiler person to come out quicker?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I mean, it is going to get colder, and I would worry... I mean, if you have the ability to pay for this to get it done... My recommendation, I wouldn't drain anything because if you're going to get, if it's going to get colder and you had to wait, that can cause a lot of issues with rust in the pipe. So I would not drain anything.
I heard, yeah, that's what I heard.
But what I would do is I would contact, there's a couple, you know, there's, you could contact Dykstra Home Services, you could contact American Weathermakers, and I know that they work 24 hours, or even the iwantsmart.com people can come out and help you out sooner than later. I don't think if we're talking about waiting until next week is a smart idea if you have the ability to afford that repair. But do not drain the pipes before that. And if you're using heaters, please ensure that you have a carbon monoxide or smoke detector that's operating in that space. Good luck and thank you for the phone call. It's 9:52 in the morning.
Happy trails to you.
Time for Lou's Last Call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. Nancy's in Berwyn. Hi, Nancy. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
I have a problem. I recently moved into an apartment, and I now have an apartment-sized gas stove. And I put my own thermometer in there because it's not correct, and it fell through the rack onto the floor of the oven.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I burnt my arm trying to fish it out.
Ouch.
I assume I had a tool in my hand. Usually I use a fork to try to retrieve it, but I must have had something else. I don't remember, really. I haven't opened it since the burn, and now I'm getting ready for Christmas, and I was looking for the thermometer, if it was still in there, the oven thermometer, and I was using a flashlight because I couldn't find it. Well, I saw what is in the back corner of the oven floor, what appears to be melted plastic. I must have been using a tool with a plastic handle. I don't remember. And I've used the scraper that I've used on the car windows. I tried SOS pads. I got the worst of it off. But it's,
okay, here's what I want you to do. Take the grates out of the you know, the shelves. Take the shelves out.
Yeah, I did already.
That
yeah.
bottom piece of metal comes out.
I took the two screws off.
In
and
the,
I
are there two screws in the back?
Yeah.
Okay, so then in the front, I want you to take a little screwdriver and you just pop the front up.
That's what I was trying,
and the whole thing
out.
The whole thing comes out. Then you have it. You can use it on the table, and then you can use like a little putty knife or something like that to scrape it off. Now, something that'll help you is if you use a little. Do you have any mineral oil? How about this? You got any vegetable oil?
Oh yeah.
All right. Put a little vegetable oil around it and let it sit there for 10 minutes. Then use a putty knife to scrape so it gets it'll work almost like a lightweight oil. It'll get underneath it, then take the putty knife and scrape it away, pop the cover back on, and then put the two screws back on and bake away. Nancy, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for the phone call. Well, the holidays are here. Eggnog, parties with friends and family. Lots of shopping. Your local Chevy dealers love the holiday season and want you to become part of the Chevy family there as well with their Chevy employee discount. Now available for everyone, it is the perfect time to drive home in the all-new 2018 Chevy Equinox Premier with $4,500 below MSRP. Show winner who's boss with the all-new switchable front-wheel drive to all-wheel drive system that puts you in charge of winter driving. And Chevy Equinox has room for five and plenty of cargo space with all those stocking stuffers. Plus, Equinox gets 32 miles per gallon on the highway, which means all those trips to Grandma's house won't break the budget. What do you say? Wrap it up. I'll take it. See your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for all the details. The Chevy employee discount, now available for everyone this time of year. It's all about the family, and Chevy wants you to be part of theirs. Welcome to the Chevy family, and happy holidays. Thank you so much for listening. Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you have
Merry
a lovely...
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, John.
Merry Christmas.
I just want to say this. Well, let me ask this, and then I'll let you go.
All right.
What did we learn on my Thursday show?
You want me to be honest?
Yeah.
You're lousy at raising money.
That's what I thought we learned. Okay, thanks, Lou.
Love you.
Bye now. That's Lou Manfredini. He's our Mr. Fix-It.